In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So among the many things I reacquainted myself with from my recent trip to Armenia was the reality of jet lag, right? I felt it strongly going to Armenia. A Sargavak named Deacon Mais met me in the airport in the middle of the night. All flights come to Armenia in the middle of the night, you know this. After a long, sleepless night of travel. And then there was morning service the next day at 8 a.m. in Eshmiadzin, and every morning thereafter. And much like morning service in my seminary days, I was half awake, which is not ideal for offering praise and worship to the Lord. And yet, our morning service seems to know this about me. Zartik Parkim, Zartik Yevyes Zartiyats Aravot, Aravotuts Alleluia. Awake my soul, awake I will awaken with the dawn. That's Psalm 108 that every morning in the Armenian church, Gisher Ayin Jamer Gutun, we pray that God open our eyes and rise us from slumber, both physical and spiritual. Then my jet lag followed me back home to from Armenia. In Boston, we were watching the great July 4th fireworks display on TV, William Tell's 1812 Overture blaring. I fell asleep. The next evening, we were watching the Red Sox playing their bitter rival, the Yankees. Last I knew, the Red Sox were down in the eighth inning and sure to lose. And then when I woke up, somehow they had won. So it seems that being half awake, we miss out on some pretty spectacular things in life. Come from behind victories and fireworks displays. And yet again, our Holy Scriptures know this about us too. And that's one of the important lessons from today's Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the story. The Scriptures describe to us on this extraordinary day. The disciples had likely followed their master, Jesus, through the Judean countryside in another long and hard day of ministry. And then as the daylight was fading, Jesus climbed up on a small mountain to be by himself and pray. And he would later instruct his disciples, keep awake and pray, so they wouldn't fall into temptation. So Jesus knows his disciples. He knows us very well. Our willpower is weak. We're asleep at times that we should be awake. Our stupor keeps us not only from doing our duty before God and others, but it deprives us of some amazing God's grace. And according to Luke's gospel, this is just what happened to disciples on this very day. They were half asleep and they half awake for the greatest fireworks display that the world had ever seen. Because Jesus was transfigured, it says, before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So needless to say, the disciples woke up in a hurry. But maybe like me, on my parents' couch, it seems they had missed out on a lot. They missed a chance to see their Lord more clearly, to be transfigured themselves as they watched Jesus' transfiguration from merely human to God and Son of God. And they fell asleep hearing Jesus' dark prophecy that he must lose to the world. And they woke to see that against all odds, Jesus might, in fact, in the end, rise again to victory. So the disciples missed out on a lot with their eyes half closed to their master. On this day and so many other times, and so of course do we. As all stories of Christ and Bible stories, they don't only happen once, they happen once and always, repeating permanent truths about who God is and who we are. And the permanent truth about humanity is that we tend to live our lives half asleep, spiritually speaking. You've heard that scientific fact that somewhere 5 or 10% of our mind's capacity is working at any given point. Well, it seems that we might use even less of our soul's capacities. We blindly follow gods and false gods of pride and materialism and comfort rather than opening our eyes to the God who makes all of this possible. We numb our senses scrolling through meaningless content rather than immersing our lives in God's life-giving word. And in this sleepy state, we miss out on God's great revelations to us, and we become resigned to losing, forgetting that God has a knack for turning losers into winners. And so, yes, you could say that the transfiguration of our Lord reflects well our everyday condition, which is sort of like a spiritual jet lag. Not just in our sleepiness to the best things of God in our lives, but our condition is like jet lag in how this disorientation comes upon us, right? We get jet lag, sleepy and disoriented, when we travel large distances from the place we call home to a different place and then back again. Well, that is just what a disciple of Jesus Christ then and now is called to do, to travel great distances in following him, back and forth between our temporary home here on earth to our final home in heaven. And so often in this cross-kingdom journey, we will feel the equivalent of spiritual jet lag, disoriented, downcast, and drowsy, unable to keep our eyes open to the great horizons which God has opened before us. But if we confess and repent of our half-hearted and half-awake attempts to follow our Lord, he'll show us who he really is and who we are called to be, transfigured into beloved sons and daughters of God. And by his grace, he'll turn the sure losses of our lives into come-from-behind victories if we only have the eyes to see now and always and unto the ages of ages. Amen.